on. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Psalm 71, and that's where the message will be coming from this evening. It's we're talking about finishing well. Some of you are young, you're not worried about that. You think you're never going to get old, never going to get there, but it comes, doesn't it? And I think this is a powerful song. Some attribute it to David, and I think it could be. We don't have any notes tonight. I did the notes. This is part of aging. I think I sent them in. I hope I sent them in. We can't find them anyplace. And I'm not going to blame Donna. I think it's probably some goofed up thing I did. So Psalm 71, and you can remain seated tonight. And I'm going to read until I think it's time to stop. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but we're actually looking at the whole psalm. But let's just read it so you kind of get a feel for what the psalmist or what David is trying to say about how to move to the end in a strong way. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge. Isn't that a tremendous statement? Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men, for you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. And this is kind of where we're going. Do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him. Seize him. For no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. And then if you'll move down just a little bit to verse 18. And when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God. You have done great things. Who, O God, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. I think that gives you kind of a taste for this powerful psalm. And you know, growing older is one of those inescapable realities, you know. It's better than the alternative. Aging not only happens, Jen, it happens fast. Get ready for it. And, you know, I'm now 68 years old. I think everybody knows that. My birthday was last Sunday, and so 2 years shy of 70. And that thought alone makes me want to take a nap. I don't know about you, but I think it's time. I read somewhere this saying: when you get too old for pimples, you go right into wrinkles. And Beverly is saying the other day, and they come back, and I've got pimples again. So how do you know you're getting older? How do you know? Well, you know you're getting older when most of your dreams are reruns. You know you're getting older when the airline attendant offers you coffee, tea, or milk of magnesia. You know you're getting older when you sit down in a rocking chair, you can't get it started. You know you're getting older when your mind makes commitments your body can't keep. You know you're getting older when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You know you're getting older when the first thing anyone says to you who hasn't seen you for a while, have you heard this? How good you still look. Amen. When you sink, you know you're getting older when you sink your teeth into a juicy steak and they stay there. You know you're getting older, and this is really frustrating, when hair doesn't grow where you want it to and grows in places you don't want it to. Anyway, I read about this fellow who was retired, wrote, I get up each morning, dust off my wits, pick up the paper, read the obits. If my name is missing, I know I'm not dead, so I eat a good breakfast, I go back to bed. Anyway, we can make jokes, can't we, about aging and the season of life that's not far away for many, but it's a reality and it's coming. Now, I think we live in a culture that kind of prejudice against older people. It's a sad thing, but some cultures value and honor the elderly. It was nice to be in Africa, honestly. Of course, they all call me Dad, but that's not too bad. And time of kind of respect and Mom. And for many of them, I felt like I was and served there. But, you know, there are cultures where older people, their wisdom is valued. They kind of come and they honor those who are older. But ours, in the Western culture, and especially in America, we tend to value youth, not age. And I think that's probably not a good biblical thing to really have that kind of perspective. The writer of Psalms 71 is obviously an older believer. He is dealing with some of the struggles of aging. He looks back at his life and his commitment to the Lord, and we saw in verse 5, he says, for you've been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. Then we see in verse 9, he faces the fear of being left alone, of being deserted by God in his old age, and he says, do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. And I think I don't think that's a reality, but I think the psalmist was concerned about finishing the race of life well. He had served the Lord since his childhood. He wanted to come to the end well. Charles Spurgeon wrote, they're highly favored who can, like David, Samuel, Josiah, if I could read my writing, that's another sign of age, Timothy, others say, thou art my trust from my youth. F.B. Meyer said, I do hope my father will let the river of my life go flowing fully until the finish. I don't want it to end in a swamp. Well, I like that. I don't think we want it to end in a swamp. May I remind us all this evening that the Christian life is not a sprint, but a marathon. And I am not a marathoner. And when you think of that, it gets tiring. But this is what it is. We've all heard the statement, you know, getting old is not for sissies, and we recognize that it's going to take something to get to the end and do that well. And it's not just a matter of being faithful when we're young. It's not just a matter of faithful when we're meeting adults, but we are to be faithful to Christ all the way to the end of the race. And you know, I've seen a lot in my years of service, and what disturbs me sometimes is that many believers who actively serve Christ for some reason stop serving Him. And that bothers me when you see that. They may have been faithful at one time, but along the way, you know, things happen. I think everybody experiences hurt and disappointments. But the thing we need to avoid is our hearts growing cold and for us just dropping out of the race. I'm reminded of a phrase that I think that came from another generation in ministry. And you've heard it. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I think that's a good reminder. One day, all of us are going to step into eternity. And I think it should be all of our desires to finish well. I think we each know too much of our imperfections and weaknesses, and yet in spite of these things, we need to walk in the grace of God, having done our best to live for Him. I want to be able to look in the eyes of my Lord one day and maybe hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to finish well. So the psalmist gives us, I think, some fantastic advice. He tells us to continually or always do several things. And if we keep on doing, I think, the following three things, I think we will finish well. So you're ready. All right? I might finish the sermon well, too. Three things. Always got to have 3 points, David. Always got to have. My preaching professor says every sermon should have at least 1 point. Yeah, it should be. You ought to make 1 point somewhere. So I'm going to try for 3. All right, number 1. Always go to the rock if you want to finish well. Always go to the rock. Be my rock of refuge to which I can what? I can always go. All right, the psalmist recognizes he needed something or someone that he could always count on. And as he lived his life, he found that God was truly a refuge and strength to him. You know, God is a rock. Now, you think about it. Everything around us, we need a solid, something solid to hold on to. And there's so many things that if you try to put your weight on it, will not hold you. But God is a solid rock, and He is our strength, and He is whom we need. And so we need a rock. One of the, I think, great needs of all stages of life, but especially for senior adults, is I think the need for security. I think it's, we're living in an age where many people are fearful. Have you noticed that? They're afraid of what may come. And we can be afraid, I think, of losing our health. I have a good friend that he's concerned that he may be, you know, may experience Alzheimer's. And it causes him, I think, great amounts of anxiety. He doesn't want to be a burden on anybody, but especially his wife. And so we have these fears. We can fear losing our mate. We can fear being left alone. We can fear our own death as we find ourselves saying goodbye to good friends over and over again. We can be afraid that we'll not have the economic resources that we need. You know, you think about it and you say, well, you got to have so much. And is your money going to make it to the end? And I think it's easy to understand all of these fears and many others. And they can begin to weigh us down and cause us to feel like we're standing in quicksand. Old age can I think, leave us feeling defenseless and vulnerable. And so the psalmist, or David, deals with these feelings and fears, and he says, how he does it, he says, is I'm going to go to the rock. I'm going to go to the rock of refuge. I'm going to go inside the castle, the fortress. I'm going to God. And I guarantee you, I don't care what your fears, what you're concerned about, He is really the only rock. You'll never be able to find security and a strong foundation anyplace else. He is the rock. I don't think we can be reminded of this truth often enough. He is the foundation that will never crumble, who will never fail us. Many people don't, you know, they don't go to the rock soon enough. He's not just for senior adults. I mean, He's for all of us. We shouldn't wait until we're senior adults to lay a foundation for our faith. We We need to lay them in childhood and in youth and all through our life. We need to put down strong foundations, and Christ our Lord is the rock. I heard a senior adult, he jokingly said that he had reached the metallic age. You know what that is? The metallic age. He said, I have silver in my hair, gold in my teeth, iron in my vitamin pills, and lead in my shoes. I've reached that stage. So for too many, many believers, their golden years are really leaden years, because they quite honestly failed to lay a solid foundation of faith when they're young. And now, you may not have done that, but it does not mean that it's too late to begin to put down that solid foundation. And I don't want to go into those older years. I'm not quite there yet, but those really older years without that foundation in Jesus Christ. I want Him to be the solid rock in my life. Now, let's look at two verses. First two verses here, and notice what the psalmist says. He doesn't want to be put to shame. Listen to this. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. I think he wants to end well. He wants to end and give God glory. Warren Wiersbe tells of a preacher who used to pray, Lord, deliver me from becoming a mean old man. Isn't that a good prayer, really? I feel myself sometimes, and I feel like I'm becoming a mean grandpa almost, a mean old man. And I have to talk, Bev has to talk to me, and I have to talk to myself and realize that that's not what I want to be. And so what we are becoming is important even now. We want to finish well. We want to leave a legacy to those around us. So I want you to notice the second thing that we need to do to finish well. Not only go to the rock, always go to the rock, but we need to keep on praising God and declaring His deeds. If you were here this morning, that sounds like a repetition, but isn't it interesting how much the Bible repeats itself? If it's true in the morning service, it's true in the evening service. And this is true. I think one of our tendencies as we grow older is to begin to complain and to get critical and bitter and to spend too much time really moaning and complaining. We grumble our way through life instead of praising our way through it. And the sooner we learn how to praise God, I think, the better we're going to be. The longer that we continue to praise God, I believe the richer and fuller our lives will be. And as I talked about renewal this morning, it is the secret, I think, to renewing our spiritual life. And I think if you want to stay young spiritually, it must be found in praising God regularly. And so the psalmist declares, I will praise God. And he says he's prepared to praise God, even though, if you look at verse 20, look at verse 20. We didn't read it. Or did we? Yeah, we read it. Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, that's a voice of experience, you will restore, you will renew my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. I think we make a mistake when we allow all the circumstances that we're going through to drown out our praise to God. And that can happen. But praise needs to flow from us. It needs to be continuous. I don't think it needs to be dependent on us having a steady shower of blessing. Even when there is a drought in our blessings, let us ever, always praise God. It's to be central, central in worship, central in our relationships, central in our daily walk, and that it is powerful for our spiritual lives. I think praise has a way, one of the values of praise is it alters our perspective. You know, it changes what we're seeing and what we're experiencing. If we focus on those things, we get overwhelmed. But if we begin to praise God, we have changed our focus. And it changes then our very experience that we're going through. And we're able to be encouraged and to be strengthened and have restoration come to our souls. I think we need to make a commitment to do what the psalmist said to do in verse 14. Look at that, verse 14. But as for me, what does he say? I will always have hope. I will praise you less and less as I get older. More and more we will praise the Lord. I don't know. Let's see how you worshiped in your younger years. In the church I attended in Phoenix, we sang a certain song every Sunday. You know what I'm talking about? What? The doxology. The doxology. Boy, I tell you, we sang that every Sunday. I don't think we sang any song every Sunday. I'm glad. But we sang that song every Sunday. But I think, I'm not calling for singing it. Absolutely not. The message is certainly something that we need to sing every day. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And we even sang the Amen. We did that. I think more important than singing the doxology is doing what the psalmist urges us to do, and that is that our life is to be a doxology, a praise to God. Praise God more and more. But not only do we need to keep on praising God, but we need to continually declare the works of God. Look at verses 17 and 18. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me. And to this day, what does he declare? I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, like I am, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Powerful, powerful statement. And so as we finish well, he's saying, I want you as senior adults to become my witnesses to the next generation. I want you to declare what you've experienced of my goodness and my greatness to these young folks who need to hear how great your God and God, I am, really am. I want you to declare my greatness to them. And the power of God needs to be declared to them. I think that's important. Not just truths about God, but the power of God needs to be declared. I think our generation, in a way, is kind of forgetting the power of God. As we declare His Word, as we declare these truths about God, we need to declare to this generation that our God is a God of great power and great strength. Now, God does not bless us with a long life so that you can live it entirely for yourselves. We see a lot of people in Fountain Hills that's what they think it's about. I've got a long life, I live it, and do whatever I want to. But He doesn't give you those days for yourself alone. God blesses us so that we might be a blessing to others. And I like to receive blessings, but I've learned through the years how much greater it is to bless someone else. And so your life and my life needs to be a blessing to those around us. I think some senior adults have kind of gotten some wrong information. You know, I know that I don't want to do things the way I did before. I want to play some golf. Les does too. Some other things. So I don't want to work like I did before in that kind of thing. I'll let Tony do that, and I'll just help. But I am so thankful that I am connected again in a way that I can use some of my gifts to help the church and to minister and to help to build up the body and to be in service of Christ in using my gifts. And in one sense, we do retire. We don't want to work in the same way we did all of our life. But there is, in a way, we do not ever retire from being His servant. We don't ever retire from ministry as His people. We are, as long as we're able-bodied and healthy and have our senses, we need to say, let's get at it. We should not say, let someone else do that job while, you know, I did that when I was younger, but I'm not going to do that anymore. I don't think, as long as you have strength, that you should say that. And I do think we should encourage others to do some things. I think there are times where we as senior adults need to step back and allow other people to move into leadership. But that just simply changes how we're serving. We're trying to help them. We're trying to encourage them to take up and to move ahead. We come along to help them be successful in serving God. And we still need to serve. I'm going to give you a suggestion of when you can retire totally and quit, okay? You know that when that date is. When you have faithfully and fully declared the power of God to the next generation. Has that been done? I don't think so. So when we've faithfully done that, then you can stop, Beverly. You can relax, okay? Until then, you got to keep at it. She doesn't like that. All right. Okay, now, I was privileged to hear John Maxwell. Anybody read some of his stuff? I was privileged to hear him in Atlanta a number of years ago. And it was a pastor's conference from folks. Oh, we heard some great guys, and he preached. And he brought a powerful message to ministers on finishing well. And while he was bringing that message, he paused. He took time to give special recognition to his father-in-law, who had been a faithful pastor for many years, and he was present there as he was speaking. And he gave great praise to his father-in-law, spoke of the fire that still burned within his father-in-law's heart to declare the gospel. And he shared what he'd heard his father-in-law say one time. His father-in-law said, I may be on the back burner, but I'm still cooking for Jesus. I like that, don't you? I'm still cooking for Jesus. May we all be able to say something like that. Psalm 92:14. That, if you read there, the psalmist captures what should be the desire of all of our hearts. He wrote, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will still stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock. That's Psalm 92:14. We need to still bear fruit in old age. Stay fresh, enthusiastic, proclaiming the Lord. If we're going to finish well, we must always go to the rock, okay? We must always keep on praising God, declaring His wonderful deeds. And lastly, if we're to finish well, we must always have hope. Have hope. Look at verse 14, verse 20 again. But as for me, I will always, what? Always have hope. and I will praise you more and more. And then verse 20. Again, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. I told you my great expertise at Hebrew this morning. Again, I will share with you my wonderful expertise. There are seven different Hebrew words that can be translated as hope. I have no expertise in Hebrew. I got that from somebody else. Okay, I just want to make that clear. I don't want you to think how brilliant I am. All right. The word used in verse 14 is a word that means a long and patient waiting in spite of delay and disappointment. It is a hope that is strengthened with bright expectation. It is an expectation that we know that God is going to meet our needs and accomplish His purposes. That's that word hope that's used. You know, the saddest thing, I think, to see is that many senior adults have lost hope. It's a sad issue. This has become a major issue, I think, all around the world, is the assisted suicides, and especially many senior adults coming and saying, okay, I'm just going to bail out of this. I'm not going to go through this. I'm facing suffering. And I have mixed feelings. I don't know how cruel that is to, but I don't find any place really for, I think that we need to gain our strength and we need to walk that road. And I don't think suicide is the answer. You know, the two groups where the highest suicide rate is, teenagers and senior adults. There's a lot of senior adults that are bailing out of life because they're going to face some very, very tough days. And I think many senior adults, quite frankly, just lose hope. There's no hope. And suicide statistics are, I think, indicators of that loss of hope. And when we lose hope, we see no point in going on. We want out. And I don't think any of us can ever choose entirely the factors and conditions we're going to have to deal with in old age. We may be blessed with robust health and a good sharp mind all the way to the end. We know people who are senior adults who amaze us. I talked again to a lady this morning, 98 years old and sharp. Beautiful, just relocated here from Florida, and her children are worshiping here, and they're senior adults. So it's an amazing, amazing thing. But many are able to live good lives and healthy lives, but the sad truth is many don't, and so it becomes a very difficult walk. And he talks about some of that. Though you have made me see what? Troubles, many and bitter. The way to make it through those times, the only way I see it, is to keep our hope in God. Hope is what helps us to persevere to the end. Keeps us from despairing, surrendering to pessimism and despair. One of my heroes is Winston Churchill, and on June 4th, 1940, he made one of his greatest speeches in Parliament, and you have heard that speech. He was rallying the country to do battle against the threat of invasion. It was sure, they thought, that they were going to be invaded, and so he rallies the people. And he says, we're told that Hitler has a plan for invading the British Isles, but we shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the land and grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. There's only one way you can keep from surrendering, at times. And that's to keep hold of hope in God, and hope in Him. Another one of Churchill's famous speeches, he stood before the troops. His gravelly voice spoke simple words out of a heart of deep conviction. And he said to them, "Never give up, never give up, and never give up." Pretty strong. Don't think you can improve on it. Hope is that kind of spirit, the spirit that carries us on till we go home to be with the Lord. I'm going to close by giving three things to remember that may help you to keep from losing hope. And I believe it can enable all of us to say with the psalmist, "But as for me, I will always have hope." Three things, okay? Got a sermon with 3 points and 3 bonus points, okay? Number one, this can help you to keep your hope. God cannot lie. He cannot do it. He cannot lie. His Word is filled with promises. You ever had one of those promise books? All of those promises. He cannot lie. He will keep every promise He has made. He cannot tell us something that is not true. Sometimes people say, God can do everything. He can do anything He wants to. I said, no, He can't. There's one thing God cannot do. He cannot lie. When He speaks it, it's true. He will not lie. And He cannot tell us anything that's false. Even as we approach death, do not approach it without precious promises of hope. You know, death's not the end. That not true? Didn't He tell us it was not the end? We will be raised from the dead even as Jesus was. We celebrate that truth. It is not just a thought for Easter. It's a promise for the future. Look at verse 20. "You will restore my life again." This is Old Testament. Before Jesus had come and died on the cross and was raised from the grave. And here the psalmist has a hope that he will be resurrected. He says, "You will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up." That's not just a New Testament concept. That's a biblical concept. Where did they get that? From God. From God who revealed it to them. Death is not the end. We're going to be raised from the grave, and we're going to be with Him. And there's hope in the resurrection in these words. You know, sometimes as you go through difficult times, the great liar will come to us, and he whispers. I imagine some of you have heard this. "Hey, you're foolish. How can you be sure? Don't be stupid. You know, God, can you really trust Him? Can you really trust what you've read and what you've been taught from the Word?" But hope says, "I will trust in the One who cannot lie to me." So the first thing for hope is God cannot lie. Second thing to remember is God will not lose. Now, we don't have that in this psalm, but you can read the book of Revelation. You can read the rest of the Bible. We are on the winning team. The victory has already been won. Our adversary is still a formidable foe. He will not win the day. And regardless of what we may be experiencing, there's coming a day when death is going to be swallowed up in victory, and death is going to be abolished for all eternity. And if that doesn't make you shout, I don't know what will. I hate death. I hate what it does to people, what people have to go through. But we recognize in the end, that's not the end. We will win because He's going to win over death, and He's going to conquer it. And so we God will not lose. Therefore, our faith in Him and our hope in Him is on the winning team. Then third, this is very, very important. God will never leave us alone. Jesus promised He's going to be with you always. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Whatever your future holds, I don't know what it holds, but this you can take to the bank. He will not desert you. You will not be left alone. F.B. Meyer one day met a lady that was very depressed on a train. And she told him that her crippled daughter had died, and this experience had almost ruined her life. She had been used to preparing breakfast for her daughter before she left each day for work, and then she always anticipated with joy the greeting that her daughter would give her at the end of the day when she came home. But now there was nothing, she said, and she felt alone and miserable. Meyer talked to her and comforted her, and he said to her, Let me just encourage you to do this. When you get home, when you put the key in the door, say aloud, Jesus, I know you're here. Before you turn the key, say that. And as you light the fire, tell Him what happened during your day. And at night, stretch out your hand in the darkness and say, Jesus, I know you're here. It was several weeks later, and Meyer met this woman again. He said, I didn't even recognize her. I didn't recognize her. Instead of lines of misery on her face, there was a smile. There was joy in her heart and in her life. And she came up to me and she said, I did as you told me, and it has made all the difference in my life. And now I feel I know Him. We know Him, don't we? We know Him. He will be with us all the way until we cross that divide, and we should keep on hoping. Always have hope. Always have hope. And we should determine now, by His grace, to finish well. And I give you those words, never give up, never give up, never give up. Let's pray. Father, we don't know what we're going to face. We don't know why some face things and others don't. We're not responsible for answering that question. We don't know. You're sovereign. But we do know some things from Your Word. We can encourage every person, no matter what they may be experiencing, to always go to the rock and to trust in You and put their hope in You. Father, we thank You so much for those who came tonight. We pray that this Word may be an encouragement to them. We recognize afresh, Father, that You love us, that You walk with us whatever we may be going through. We're never alone. We're never by ourselves. And when we trust You, we see and feel and sense Your strength coming to us. Walk with us whatever we may experience. This day, this week, this year. And we pray that we might give You glory through our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.